it may be. Lord, would you comfort those in need? So, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Okay. We are now going to magically change scene here, and Laura will take over as I now look after our children, and Laura shares with us.
Thanks, Rich. See, a seamless transition from one Cummings to the other. So good morning, everybody. So today we are looking at one of our ways of well-being, and we are going to start going through, as I talked about last week. If you haven't seen my talk from last week, then catch up with it online. That'd be great. It's on YouTube. And I talked about four E's that we can use to help us to think about cultural messages around us. So we're going to use those today to look at the first of our ways of well-being. So let me pop it up on the screen for you. There we go. So hopefully you can all see that. And it says learn. So that is what we're looking at today. And this is one of our ways of well-being. So hopefully these are now familiar to you all. And it's the five that we'll be looking at over the next few weeks, with a few kind of in-betweens from some other people who are going to come and speak with us. So this is the definition of learn from government. Basically, the government commissioned a body to look at particular ways that would help people who are looking to increase their sense of well-being. So that might be they're struggling with mental health issues, or just feel like, you know, life is a bit tricky. So these are the five things that have come and been crystallized as the kind of main advice that the government is giving. So you'll find these messages on lots of websites. And the next one is the fuller definition from MIND, the mental health charity. So I'll just read through it really quickly. So learn. Continued learning through life enhances self-esteem and encourages social interaction and a more active life. Anecdotal evidence suggests that the opportunity to engage in work or educational activities particularly helps to lift older people out of depression. The practice of setting goals, which is related to adult learning in particular, has been strongly associated with higher levels of well-being. Why not learn something new today? Here are a few more ideas. So it then goes on to give various things that you could do to learn something new, explore something new, and some of the other websites kind of use these phrases about getting out of your comfort zone. So there's things like reading a book, researching something you've always wondered about. There's loads of suggestions out there. So what we're interested in is exploring this whole topic. So we want to do the first E, which is enter. So what questions do we think are behind this? So why has learn been included in the advice given to people who are looking for an increased sense of well-being? I'm just gonna pause the share in a moment and see what you guys think. So why do you think that in response to somebody who's maybe feeling a bit depressed, a bit anxious, who is you know, looking to increase their overall sense of well-being, why has this been included in the advice that the government has come up with? Let's see if anybody has got particular thoughts about that. So I'm going to see if I can get out of this screen so I can have a little look and see what you're all saying. And I can't. Nope, still can't. Sounds like my husband is coming up to help me. Hello, husband. How can I see the chat? There.
Oh, it's not sharing, so you just stop share.
Okay, go on then. Right, sorry everybody, a little technical. Right, so what have we got? We have got, oh, there's loads of things. Right, okay, let's just scroll back up. So, crystals, it takes your mind off yourself. Okay, yeah, that's really good. Gives you a sense of purpose, takes your mind off worries, because there's evidence it works. Absolutely, there is evidence that it works. And in fact, yeah, there is, oh, let's see. So studies have shown that, oh no, I'm going to read that to you later, actually, because otherwise it's going to be a spoiler for what else I'm going to say. So yeah, absolutely. There's evidence that learning new things lifts your mood. So yeah, you get to know new people. What else have we got? Learning could be outward looking, not introspective. Different part of the brain. Yeah, God has given us an inquiring mind and we're stimulated by new experiences. So I'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. Learning gives you more choices and resources. Wow, we've got loads of interaction here. A sense of achievement, yeah. Builds confidence as you increase your targets, yeah. So it mentioned there, didn't it, about self-esteem as well, confidence and self-esteem. Sense of achievement. Opportunities for jobs. Oh, interesting. Gives you something else to talk about. We all need that at the moment, don't we? Small talk is really tricky right now. What have you been up to? Literally nothing. Barney, to answer questions. Okay, great. Thanks, everybody. Loads of ideas there. So I've got some ideas of my own as well, as you might imagine. So let's get back to the PowerPoint. Here we go. So let's move on. So these are the things that it brought to my mind when I asked these questions. What are the desires behind this? What are the thoughts? What are the fears? So we're entering in by asking these questions. So these are the things that popped into my mind when I put myself in the position of the person reading that text about learning. I think that some of the questions behind that are about purpose, are about how can I make the most of my life? It might be that life feels a bit boring. Life's just a treadmill. What's the point? How can I find meaning and purpose? So there were lots of bits of feedback there about achievement as well, and a sense of kind of doing something with your life. And I definitely think that that is part of what's going on when the advice to learn something new is being given. So let's explore that a bit more. This is our next E. So what we're going to do is we're going to look for the things that we agree with in this whole statement and things that we're not so sure about. So for me, I can definitely agree and say that the desire to explore and learn is God-given. So I think Jampi Ark said something in the chat there about, you know, God's given us inquiring minds. Absolutely. So in Genesis, we looked last week at one of the kind of initial purpose statements that's given to Adam and Eve, or to Adam initially, about cultivating the earth and the kind of shaping of culture and the growing and doing stuff. And one of the other things that is said in Genesis is about naming. So Adam is given the authority to name. So one of the first things that he does is to look around at this amazing creation that God's made and to observe it and to classify it. And in a way, he's the first scientist. He's looking around at all the different animals, all the amazing things they can do. And he's thinking about what kind of animal they are, and he's naming them. So there's lots more about around naming and authority. But one of the things it does tell us is that God has made us to be inquisitive, to wonder about the world around us, to explore it and to learn about it. And I also think that we can agree that having a desire for meaning and purpose and value in the way that you use your time is a God-given thing. That's something we can absolutely agree with and say, yeah, we can say yes to that. Now, we might not be so sure about the things that we learn and the things that we do being a source of our self-esteem, as it's described in what we were reading from the website. So let's move on and find out a bit more. It's not quite right. I think that we believe that the source of meaning and purpose and value is not in learning skills or learning stuff for the sake of it. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians that knowledge puffs up. So it's not about just learning random stuff for the sake of it. We want to believe that we have self-esteem and we have value before we do anything. And we know that's true. We don't just want to believe it. It is true. So we believe that ultimately this kind of meaning and purpose only comes from finding our identity in Christ and finding our purpose caught up in him and caught up in his. So we don't want to be attaching too much value to what we do or what we know. And we want to know God as the source of meaning, purpose, and value in our lives. And as we do that, we realise that actually it goes far beyond ourselves. And that was another thing that came up in the chat there, that it's very, learning can take you outside of yourself and outside of just focusing on your own individual skills or, you know, what you're doing. But actually, as we understand ourselves as part of God's big story, we realise that our significance is found in something much, much bigger, and it goes far beyond our own small part in it. So I believe that behind this link between learning and well-being are two major strands. So one is that, yes, we are made to learn. God has made us that way. He's made us to be inquisitive. He's made us to explore and to cultivate and to grow and to use the brains and the creativity and the gifts that he's given to each one of us for his glory. And secondly, that each one of us is made to desire a purpose. We're made for purpose and on purpose. Now, I'm going to read a quote to you from a book that you will most likely have heard of. You might even have it in your house. So let's just see if you can guess what it is. I can't see the chat because for some reason I can't see the chat and share my screen at the same time with you. But maybe you can guess. It has sold over 50 million copies worldwide. It was on the New York Times bestseller list for more than 90 weeks. And many people, many church leaders quote it as a really influential book. That's, well, yeah. I'm not sure I necessarily would. But anyway, it was very popular. And I think that its popularity somewhat proves my point that we are all looking for purpose, because it is, ta-da, Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life, TM. Which sold very well, I think, because we're looking for that purpose. So I'm going to read out what he says. He says, if you want to know why you are placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by his purpose and for his purpose. Until you understand that, life will never make sense. It is only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. Every other path leads to a dead end. So let's rejoice now in the fact that there are so many reasons to be thankful for what God has given us, what God has done for us. And one of those is that he has given us a reason to learn and grow. So I'm going to pass over to Mark now to lead us in some worship.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
And see what I'm going to share in just a moment. That's fine. Okay, right. So basically, I'm going to start by telling you a bit of my story. So some of you will already know some of my story in terms of I grew up in a non-Christian home and didn't become a Christian until I went to university. But you may not all know that I have been a lifelong nerd. I have always loved learning. And in fact, I went to a little rural Welsh primary school in West Wales, and I read every book they had in the school before I left. And then I went on to be a very nerdy teenager, and I read Tolstoy, and I taught myself Russian in my spare time for fun, and I absorbed as much knowledge and information as I could find until eventually I discovered boys and drinking. But anyway, off I went to university and I studied French at Exeter, and I utterly played the system by taking optional beginner's Spanish, which I found far too easy, and ended up getting a first class degree. Hooray, go me. And I left university with that degree and with a very lovely and handsome and godly fiancé who can't hear me flattering him now, but never mind, all my flattery is wasted. And also with a newfound faith in Jesus. Now, I still love learning, but it changed completely the way that I see learning. And that's why I'm telling you all of this. Jesus transformed the way that I learn. So I've just restarted teaching myself Romanian, but this time it's not just an academic exercise to learn a language. It's infused with meaning as I imagine myself speaking the words that I'm learning to speak life and love to our friends in Lipova. And as I hope it will help me to serve them better and also give Gemma a break from being my personal walking dictionary. I feel most alive in God when I learn something new about him. I love studying theology. I love finding something new that I didn't know. Thanks for the thumbs up, Cheryl. I can see that. I love learning Greek and Hebrew words. But again, it's not just for the sake of it. It's so that I can know God more, that I can understand more clearly what the biblical text is telling me about him and how I can know him and make him known. So learning and studying and exploring the world around us is really good. It's really valuable. I love doing it. But it's at its best when it has a purpose. And when that purpose is caught up in God's purpose, we get a glimpse of life to the full. So this is how I think the gospel fulfills this aspect of culture. So we're going to go back to my slides now. Let's see. Oh, look, it's even remembered where I was, which is really handy. So we're going into the final E now, which is evangelize. So how does the gospel fulfill this aspect of life? So I think that the gospel, for me anyway, fulfilled my calling as a learner. It made my learning as it was meant to be. So let me share with you something that I picked up in Paper Chase. Another thing about me is I love stationery, and I love Paper Chase. It's full of pretty things. And I was in there a while ago and picked up a book that looks something like this. It doesn't look exactly like this, actually, but I don't know whether you can see the subtitle on there. It says The Japanese Secret to a Long and Happy Life. I thought, that looks interesting, especially as I might be talking about well-being. And the one that I picked up, the copy I picked up, actually said A Happier Living Workbook. And it's a journal that aims to help the reader to explore and find their passion in life. So the word ikigai in Japanese roughly, I believe, translates as something like a reason to get up in the morning or a reason for being. And I just wonder, what if Jesus hung out at Paper Chase? Do we think that Jesus has something to say to the person who's wandering around Paper Chase and thinks, yeah, I really want to find my passion and my purpose in life? Now, we've been talking about shalom and how we believe that Jesus intends for us all to live in a state of shalom. And if a lack of purpose is detrimental to that, which it is, so as Cheryl pointed out in the chat earlier, it's been shown that learning is good for us, makes us feel better. It's also been shown that studies have shown that a lack of purpose is linked to depression and substance abuse, among other things. And mental health is a complex thing, and I am not in any way trying to say one thing or other about how we address mental health problems. But it has been shown that having that those with a sense of purpose score more highly in terms of mental well-being than those who say they don't know what their purpose is. So I believe that God will be encouraging us to be seeking his purpose for our lives, for our well-being, and also to be sharing the fact that there is good news. There is purpose for your life, for our neighbours, our work colleagues, our school friends, our family members who don't know him. So as Christians, in fact, we have two different kinds of purpose. Receive one from Jesus, get one free. We have a purpose that is common to us all. We are all called to know God and make him known. We also have a unique individual calling. Each one of us has been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. That's Ephesians 2:10. And I love the fact that the first mention, I believe, Cheryl or Chris could probably correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the first mention of the Holy Spirit in the Bible is actually in Exodus 31, when a chap called Bezalel is given, oh no, Cheryl and Richmond are shaking their heads, oh well, okay, fair enough, at the beginning of creation when he's moving over the waters, yes, all right, okay. In terms of being given to a person for a specific purpose, this is the first guy to get the Holy Spirit as a special infusion of God's presence in his life, and that is for a creative purpose. So he is given this gift from God, this calling and this purpose to be the decorator of God's dwelling. He's given an artistic gift. And there are many other individuals through the Bible who are given specific gifts as their calling from God. Now, the foundation for all of this is our identity in Christ. It's important to remember we are loved and valued and significant before we do anything at all. So we receive our identity, we find our identity in Christ. And then as we do that, we also discover we have these purposes. We're part of something big. We're part of bringing his kingdom into being. And we also have our own special and unique part in that. So we believe there's an abundance of purpose to be found in following Jesus. We believe that learning is a great thing. And I think that discipleship is a great way to bring these two things together. Discipleship is about being on a learning journey, a growth towards God, and also growth into the person that he has made us to be. It's not the source of our value or significance, but it's the result of finding those things in Christ. So we are pursuing God's purpose for each one of us. And as we do that, I believe that's the ultimate fulfillment of this advice to keep learning. Now, I stuck this car on here for my husband, who I don't think can see this now, but never mind. It's a Dodge Challenger, for those of you who are interested in cars. It's a very nice looking car, and it is made to move. It is not made to just be parked in a driveway to look at, much as some people might want to do that. It is made to be driven. It's made to go somewhere. And that is what I believe about learning. It's not made just to be something where we learn a new language. Well, that's great. Maybe I can say more than une bière, s'il vous plaît, when I next go on holiday to France. Or, you know, maybe I can do a Sudoku. Well, that's great. And those things are really good for your brain. So keep doing them. But when they're married with God's purpose for our lives, then that's when learning really comes alive. That's where the sweet spot is. And I think that's what we want to pursue. A learning journey towards God, getting that car moving, and that car is us. So are you still learning? Are you still moving? Maybe we feel a bit stagnant at the moment. It's hard. It's a hard time. And it can feel like life is not really going anywhere. But this journey of discipleship is one that we can take wherever we are. We don't have to go anywhere. So is there that sense of forward momentum for you at the moment? Do you feel confident in what those unique gifts are in your life? Are you confident in what that calling is, what that purpose is, or are you still looking for it? If it's something that you need to explore more, you want to explore more, then I'd really encourage you to talk to either your discipleship group or other close friends or one of us, or even to join in the prayer breakout room and ask people to pray for you. If you think, no, I don't know what exactly my purpose is, what I'm here for, I believe that God wants you to be on that learning journey, to be getting the sense of wanting to learn more about the world around you, that exploration, that desire, that inquisitiveness that God has put in each of us to be leading to him. So I would really encourage you to be just mulling on that. So I'm going to pray for us now, and then Ian's just going to put the screen up so that Rich and I can do the switcheroo again so that he can deal with breakout rooms. So I apologise on Virgin Media's behalf for the interruption to this morning. It's been frustrating, but hopefully we can all take something from this, and it can push us closer to God. So I'm just going to pray for us now as we finish. Father, thank you that you have made us to be those who are interested in the world around us. We are made to learn. Lord, for those of us who feel like we're a bit stuck, we're not learning anymore, or we're not really sure how all of this fits together, I pray that you would help us to see. Thank you, Lord, that you have made each one of us with a purpose. And that you've made all of us together for purpose too. Thank you that you give the gift of your Holy Spirit to us. Thank you that you give us all gifts. And I pray that you would help each one of us to discover what our own gift is, what our own abilities, whether it be creativity, a linguistic ability, whether it be an ability to discern and to be sensitive to other people's feelings. There are all kinds of gifts. Lord, would you help us as we seek to live on purpose and to learn on purpose? Would we be those who pursue you on this journey of discipleship growth towards you and towards becoming the person that you've made us to be and the people together that you've made us to be? In Jesus' name, amen.